This is the Awful Announcing Podcast. Here's your host, Brandon Contes.
All righty. Welcome to episode 28 of the Awful Announcing Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Contes, and this week we have sports radio host Sean Sharif of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas joining us. Sean, thanks so much for taking some time to come on the podcast today. And I expected to start with the Cowboys. I don't know if you've caught on to this, but the national media seems to have this obsession with talking about the Cowboys. But in a stunning turn of events, I'm actually going to start with the Mavericks. What was the surprise level last night, Tuesday night, seeing that Mark Cuban sold the team?
About 9.5. Cuban came in, and I'm here at the radio station. It's funny, I got the voice of the Mavericks, Chris Arnold, behind me. Chris, wave to all the people here. So he might be your Maverick insider here, so you get 2-for-1 price. But Cuban, obviously, when he took over, was like all of us, right? That was the big appeal. He was the sports fan. He was the diehard. He was wearing jerseys. He was giving middle fingers to the league and David Stern and everybody else. So if there's going to be anyone that's not going to ever give up their team, it's going to be Mark Cuban being the most diehard, passionate, psychotic fan that he is today compared to week one when he owned this team. So everyone, and we're talking to a lot of coworkers and people who have connections within the Mavericks that were pretty stunned to hear that this went down last night, and we're all just trying to now figure out why.
So is there a thought that there's some sort of ulterior motive here? Like, is Mark gearing up for a presidential run? Are the Mavericks going to be moving to Vegas at some point, or is this just a business decision?
It sounds like a business decision. Last year, and this kind of got buried until yesterday, Mark Cuban said that he's been wanting a new arena here, and he wants that arena to be in the middle of a resort style casino setup. So the Mavericks, and I got my second source here, Chris Arnold, they're not moving to Las Vegas. Mark Cuban is not running for president. This sounds like, from everyone that we've talked to be getting a big dog, the fifth richest woman in the entire world, somebody who knows a lot about casinos, coming from Las Vegas, to come on over here, give Mark Cuban $3.5 billion, set up something that we don't even have legalized here in the Metroplex in terms of gambling and casinos, and letting Mark still continue to run basketball operations. So that sounds like a hell of a freaking business deal if you're Mark Cuban.
Do you believe that he's going to be able to retain control of the team? Like, I know that's what's being reported, but it's almost unheard of, the idea of selling the majority stake of a team and then being able to maintain control of that team.
Right, with basketball operations?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a figurehead thing. I don't know whether it's a stabilizing thing for a little bit. You know, I'm just going to take advantage. CA, come here. Chris Arnold, voice of the Mavs, give Awful Announcing your take on the deal. And what is this going to mean for Cuban running things? What do you think, Chris?
I think he's in place. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
There you go.
Win-win for everybody.
Win-win for everyone. I don't know how long, Brandon, he's going to, right? Because he doesn't have majority power now. I don't know. Right. How long he continues to be the face of the basketball operations. A lot of Mavericks fans here, that was the worst part of the news yesterday. You know, they don't want Mark Cuban. Jerry Jones catches all the shit, catches all the heat, but everyone here now thinks Mark Cuban interferes with and actually butts his nose in the player personnel stuff more than Jerry Jones does in DFW.
Oh, really? So Dallas, I mean, I would imagine that Mavericks fans at least appreciate the fact that they got one title under Cuban's tenure. But so what is the overall thought process? What is the overall thinking about Mark Cuban? Like, do they enjoy the boisterous personality? Do Dallas fans enjoy the political takes he makes? Do they enjoy the celebrity that he's become?
No. All that stuff is out the window. A lot of people, yeah, they're happy with the championship, but they are bitter and ticked that he didn't give Dirk more. They blew up the team that won it in 2011, which I supported. I thought that was kind of a fluky championship. But then Dirk played with a lot of garbage here throughout his final years. After all the sacrifice financially, the most humble, best personality you could ever hope for in terms of the face of your city, a superstar, Hall of Fame legend. And a lot of people think that Mark Cuban did him dirty by never getting him more help. Obviously, his views politically counter not only the new owner, drastically counter, but the state of Texas in general. Even though Texas is evening out a little bit, Mark Cuban is very liberal. Texas is very conservative. So I would venture to guess that a Jerry Jones versus Mark Cuban likability poll in DFW would be closer than you think. And it definitely would have been closer than any of us would have thought 15 or 20 years ago.
Give me a percentage on how much the split for Jerry Jones, like Dallas fans, what they feel about Jerry.
Just on Jerry?
Yeah, just Jerry.
Just Jerry, it would probably be 65-35 against him.
Okay.
Maybe it bumps up a few points because he finally put Jimmy Johnson in with that disgraceful, unjustified, insecure delay that was. And that whole show that they ran out there hijacking the Fox pregame show, trying to hijack kickoff. So he finally put Jimmy in and got over that pettiness. But it would still definitely be more against Jerry than supporting him.
How is getting to interview Jerry on the radio every week, or is that's every other week? Because I know you guys split it with the midday show still.
No, we both get him every week.
Oh, you both? Wow! So he does two interviews every single week on your radio station,
and so does Steven, his son.
That's wild.
Oh, that was my awful announcing alarm right here. Thank you for making it work a little early.
Yeah, no worries.
I mean, it's awesome. I still get a high out of it. I think sometimes the audience, I get a bigger high than the audience does because Jerry is always selling, right? It's Barnum and Bailey. He has the old stories that he tells 50,000 times. To me, that's the thing that changed my mind from wanting to pursue like a national career. Was being the home of the Cowboys because they are national. Like year after year would go by, and I'm like looking at our show name on First Take and Stephen A. calling us out and all this stuff, and I'm like, this is kind of like a national gig. Like, do I really want to leave this after getting settled here? I consider it a tremendous honor. It's still very disappointing with the lack of team success. I know that Jerry has given us a lot of BS, but Jerry, from a broadcasting standpoint, is the absolute best. And I worked in DC with Snyder, and I was in Kansas City for a short time and did Baltimore radio. And Jerry Jones is the least interfering, least sensitive team owner that you could ever possibly dream of. So I still love it. I still get a kick out of it. I love the guy as an interview subject. I love him more than probably a lot of Cowboy fans listening to it every week.
Are you surprised that at 81 years old, he's still as involved with the team as he is and then still willing to be available to the media as much as he is?
No. I mean, he's an egomaniac. He loves attention. That's why he thought that the Cowboys Ring of Honor is some type of equal recognition than the Hall of Fame for Jimmy freaking Johnson. Like, it's my sandbox. It's my world, and I'll decide, and no one can tell me. No, I'm not surprised because he's doing two radio shows a week that we're very happy about and grateful for here at The Fan. But no, I think Stephen Jones was told once by Bill Parcells, your dad is a 10 toes up guy. And he's like, oh, what is 10 toes up? And they're like, they'll drag him out of his office 10 toes up. He'll die working.
Yeah, credit Jerry for this. Like, if Woody Johnson or John Mara are on WFAN being interviewed, like, it's a brutally boring spot, but Jerry always keeps it entertaining.
But truth be told, Brandon, and again, I'm giving you more media. I'm a broadcast media nerd, so like, I'm coming at it from this standpoint. He's gotten very sharp of not falling for the radio tricks and not even falling for it, just not taking it there.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Jones loves media. He was a big dog behind the NFL Network. Jerry will not answer a comparison question like, is Dak reminding you of Aikman? Is Dak playing better than Mahomes? He's never going to fall for that because he knows the headline it creates. Yeah, yeah. Now, when he wants to create a headline, he will come out and create the headline when he's pissed off about something. But he become even more media savvy in terms of not falling for any of the tricks, or you try to press him, or you try to give him a yes or no. He's like a journalism professor picking apart double barrel questions. He's like, you asked me two questions there in one. So, you know, you're supposed to ask one question, keep it open-ended. He's like a journalism professor in that regard, especially these past few years.
Is there one interview that sticks out with Jerry that was the most surprising or strangest comment that he made?
No, I don't think a surprising, shocking one. What I've been surprised with, and I'm not surprised anymore, is we have an understanding. I think maybe the Kaepernick one. When all that stuff was taking place, I still remember the business we were at, the show that it was, who was on my left, who was on my right. This was a highly anticipated interview nationally because we know all the, you know, the networks are listening and they're going to play it at the top of the hour. And I was like, how far is he going to go into this? And Jerry Jones, a lot of listeners get really pissed off at us that, you know, we're not cussing him out. Give up the GM. You're an idiot. You're a trash owner. And you're just not going to do that. Because I've interviewed this guy every week for 12 years. You know what I mean? We're the Cowboys flagship. But that doesn't mean we're not going to ask him tough questions. And he will answer every single tough question. Now, if he doesn't give the answer that a lot of the audience wants, that's not my problem. That's not my issue. I care about him giving an answer. Jerry will give an answer. If it's not satisfactory to me, he'll usually allow a follow-up, but like, let's not take it the third. He's answered it the way he wants to answer. He gave me a chance for the follow-up, which I appreciate. So when we're doing interviews with Jerry, you'll hear two things in the background. You'll hear a spoon hitting a teacup. You hear ting, ting, ting. He's taking his morning coffee. And the other thing is you'll hear a pencil scratching a piece of paper. Jerry's crossing out the subjects that he has covered or wants to cover. He's circling, he's scribbling on this notepad. So he's prepared. He answers the questions. He doesn't give a lot of fluff, generic stuff. He knows when controversy's coming. And we ask him, you know, every question that I feel like the Cowboys know not to send me a list of things not to ask. I'm just not going to do it. Otherwise, we can get rid of the interview or it could go somewhere else. So Jerry Jones, once in a while, he'll say, hey, can you guys ask me about the Salvation Army to tee up a cause for Thanksgiving? And the only rule has ever been, don't make it personal. You know, we're not going to sit there and make age jokes, and we're not going to talk about other, you know, tabloid type things.
Yeah.
And get into his personal life like that. And I respect Jerry for the way he's conducted that relationship, because Dan Snyder is petty. And I've gotten more talks from the Kansas City Chiefs in 1 year, now different people, 12 years ago, than I've gotten from Jerry Jones in 12.
Really? But so he doesn't send you don't get topics regarding the Cowboys that he wants to cover or anything like that first?
No, absolutely not. Again, if they have a cause,
yeah.
If they have something that he wants to promote, he'll ask if we can promote it and get it in. Never any restrictions or guidance.
What was going through your mind last season before the Super Bowl when you were talking to Michael Irvin on the phone and he just he comes out and starts talking about the incident with a woman at a hotel that led to him being removed from NFL networks and ESPN Super Bowl coverage? And like it almost seemed like he forgot that he was on the radio in those few minutes.
Yeah. So first off, confusion. I had no idea what the hell he's talking
about. Yeah, no one knew about it at that point.
Nobody knew about it. So Michael has, like, in my opinion, I don't know Mike. Like, I'm not going to act like we're boys, right?
Yeah.
But he's come on our show for a number of years, and he's pretty tight with me and RJ. He knows RJ from their 103.3 days. Rest in peace. we'll have phone calls, or we had a lot of phone calls back in the day, text messages. Michael has this innocence about him. And I think he wanted to come on in that moment and be like, he wanted to vent or explain himself, like this just raw moment of explanation. And we had no idea what the heck is going on and what he's talking about. So it was confusion and then shock that like Michael is taking us through this hotel incident early in the morning. This is all playing out and he's about to be banned from two different networks with a lawsuit that would drag out. So confusion and shock.
Yeah, I do want to just note that was rest in peace to 103.3, not to RJ Choppy for anyone that's unaware of the Dallas sports radio scene.
Right. 103.3, rest in peace.
So was that part of did you have a regular spot with Michael, or was that interview just because it was Super Bowl week? Like, did you
we had a regular spot through I think that one was set up through Odyssey.
Okay.
He was part of the Odyssey Odyssey NFL insiders. Look, it's hard to interview Michael Irvin and it not be a great interview because it's Michael Irvin. But I think we had an extra special rapport with Mike because it was home of the Cowboys, Dallas. He knew RJ very well. I get along with Michael, so he was radio gold.
Do you have him back this year?
No. I don't, for some reason in the past, like Michael went off the radar for us, like completely off the radar, dealing with a lot of legal stuff, right?
Yeah.
But even like communication, like Mike would give me a phone call and update me on stuff or shoot text messages. And that totally went out the window. Now, of course, he's doing another show with Bayless and them.
Yeah.
And the Odyssey deal with him ran out. So I don't think Mike's doing that avenue anymore, but no, very sad. Very, very, very sad that we don't have Mike on this year.
Yeah. The whole incident has since gone away sort of after Irvin released the video of the encounter. Like he's back on NFL Network. He has that show with Skip Bayless on FS1. He's part of Undisputed a couple times a week. Stephen A said he wanted him back on ESPN. Do you think that is it just a business thing that he's not on, or like, was there any sort of, did you hear from anybody from Irvin's camp after the interview? Like, you guys did nothing wrong. He just opened up, but like, was there any issues from Irvin's side with the way the interview went down?
No. I mean, I talked to Mike once or twice during that week after that.
Oh, okay. You know?
So no, there was no blow off. I don't think he ended it because look, I'm not close enough with Michael that I feel like I need to like get to the bottom of it. You know, like,
yeah.
I think a mistake that a lot of people make in this business is we get charmed, right? We think that we're friends with these athletes. Like we've been out to dinner with Mike, but like, you know, Mike is not coming to my kids' events and vice versa. So like, obviously he didn't want to keep up the same level of communication because Mike would text us like twice a week during the show, just randomly about stuff we were talking about. So there's nothing to get to the bottom of here for me. Mike clearly had other stuff going on. He doesn't owe me any explanation with it. So it is what it is. We'll talk one day and I'll bust his balls and be like, oh, wow, look who reappeared again. Oh, look, all of a sudden you can talk to us once again, you know, but I'm a ball buster like that, but nothing beyond that.
At what point during that interview did you realize like this was going to become a major story?
I'm trying to think. I mean, you asked me this last almost a year ago.
Yeah. Because I mean, at the start of it, like I think it started by you guys were going to be going out to the Super Bowl, and I think you even mentioned like getting dinner with him while you guys were out there.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just said like, oh, like, I'm not necessarily going to be around much. And like, at first I would assume that you're thinking maybe he's joking or something like that. Yeah. And not realizing like, this is,
I don't know if I totally realized it would be as big as it was because, you know, also with Michael, like he's had some of these like stories in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, I don't know. I didn't know how serious to take. I wasn't grasping the severity of the situation. Maybe halfway through, maybe at the end, we were like, We were looking at each other for sure during the interview. I'm sure it came across in the fan cam. And we were looking at each other like, what is happening? Like, he's telling us all this stuff right now. Like, what do we do? What is going on? I don't know if I realized it was going to blow up to the degree of it was, because I didn't know how serious it actually was.
So what's the temperature of Cowboys fans right now? Are they buying into this team as a Super Bowl contender? Are they more concerned about the Eagles still?
Got to prove something for real. All these numbers and all these blowouts and all this home disparity and all this Dak MVP talk, we've been through it before. We've fallen for this same old shit. Over 500, you haven't done it. You still got embarrassed and humiliated in San Francisco. We know you can play with Philadelphia, but what's going to happen starting Thursday night with this gauntlet, with this stretch? Because we call them the D-boys, like Debo off Friday. They bully the Giants and they wedgie the Panthers and they humiliate Washington. What are you going to do after you get hit once? Because normally the Cowboys fold up, commit stupid penalties, and go backwards. So show us that it actually means something this time to get to a conference championship game. That's kind of the city, the attitude of the Metroplex.
Do Cowboys fans have more faith that Dak Prescott is their right quarterback or that Mike McCarthy is the right head coach?
Oh, good question. I don't know that I have I don't know that I have an answer to it. That's a really good question. I think it's near 50-50.
Yeah.
Dak, I think people, I mean, they're I don't want to say stuck right now because he's balling out, but they know that Dak is going to be here. McCarthy, we're trying to figure out what type of credit to give McCarthy right now. McCarthy at the beginning of the season wanted to take things out of Dak's hands. He wanted to do what Sean Payton's doing with Denver essentially right now. He wanted a more boring run first game plan. I think he overreacted to Dak's interceptions last year. Anyone with a brain knew, you know, not to go crazy, that he's not an interception machine. Last year was a fluke. It was an aberration if you look at his numbers. But McCarthy said multiple times, we're defense first. We're going to run. Kellen Moore wants to get his video game offensive stats and numbers up there. Once it became clear they could not run and be a shutdown defense like McCarthy wanted, he ripped up his plan at the beginning of the year, and now Dak's playing like an MVP. So do we give Mike credit for changing the offense that was just fine and dandy over the past few years, or do we give Mike credit for going back to it? So that's what we're trying to figure out right now. But they lose to San Fran again, Brandon, and the same people will say it's time for a new quarterback and a new head coach.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is San Francisco. But I think for all the questions about Dak Prescott's ability to win the big game, like if we're thinking that it's going to end up having to go through Philadelphia, is there a quarterback? There probably is not a quarterback in the NFC that you would trust more than Dak to go into Philadelphia and have a chance at beating the Eagles. Like you're not going to take Brock Purdy over Dak. You're not going to take Jared Goff over Dak. Like the way the NFC is right now, I think in general around the NFC, you'd have more trust in Dak being able to win a game on the road in Philly than any other quarterback.
Well, we're going to find out Sunday with Purdy. I mean, there's some people, I think Michael Lombardi yesterday said Brock Purdy's his MVP. You know, we're still trying to figure out whether Brock Purdy's for real, right? We know that Dak Prescott plays great against Philly. That much we know. So I'm taking Dak personally. I've seen it once. I've seen it multiple times. I saw it this season. So I know that Dak Prescott can put up numbers against Philadelphia. The biggest hurdle, this is the good and the bad news. The bad news is you're probably having to deal with San Fran again. The good news is the San Francisco 49ers, I feel, is the only real scary hurdle for the Dallas Cowboys making the Super Bowl. Because they can beat Philadelphia. They're not going to have home field. That sucks. That's advantage Eagles. But they can play with and beat the Eagles. We've seen it. We know it. But I don't have any faith that can happen against San Fran. None.
How did you get Stephen A. Smith to keep shouting you guys and 105.3 The Fan out on First Take? Because like it's one thing for him to say something about Dallas sports radio, but he always makes a point to say 105.3 The Fan specifically, which is pretty cool.
It is. That's very, very, very cool to me. There's a lot of people who don't like Stephen A. My boss may think that we play Stephen A sometimes too much in the national shows, but I to me, it's freaking cool. That happened with it may have been right before, right after First Take brought their show to Frisco at the Star. And then I asked Jerry, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. I'm like another, sometimes I do these things knowing once I realize First Take and all these networks are spying on this interview and they're playing it all at 9, I'm like, maybe let me throw out a little piece of bait here for Jerry to say something about Stephen A or have a funny line. And then First Take will play that from our show. So after it happened the first time, I'm like, hell yeah, hook. It worked, hook, line, and sinker. And I think because it was personalized, he decided to give us a shout out of the fan, right? Talk about the station.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the second follow up, but I think it was Stephen A's way of trying to talk to Jerry on our show, where he's like, I'll come on and I'll defend this and do that. And then Stephen A came on the show. That was huge. That blew everyone away. Increased his likability factor big time with Cowboy fans. Because we realized the game, the TV game that he has to play.
The shtick that he has.
And then I tried it the other week. I was like, I'm going to get us mentioned on there again. Because Stephen A had like called us out. And I'm like, I'm going to bait Jerry one more time to say something about Stephen A, which he did. He gave a phenomenal quote. I raced home. I ran home. I turn on the TV. I'm like, we're going to get mentioned. He's going to talk about Sean and RJ again, blah, blah, blah. We're going to get him back on. And they just blew right over. I was effing crushed. I was devastated. That was my own media ego. It was smothered right there. And I'm like, screw that. Because Stephen A wanted, his offer was to come on while Jerry was on. And I was like, no, like, I'm not letting you interview Jerry Jones right in our weekly spot. What do I get out of it? You get to talk to Jerry. You're not, Jerry's obviously not going on your TV show. I'm not, you know, so let's publicly negotiate to create some more traction, some more attention, some more hits, some more likes. But that one, it did not give me the satisfaction the first one did. So I'm done with that now.
Were you surprised that he did actually come on after that, that you did get him?
Yes. Big time surprise. Because I think he was talking, I already cursed once. I'm allowed to fully curse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking shit, you know, like, if you want to, you know, reel someone to hold his feet to the fire, and then 105 through the fans. So we're like, let's play this up. Our producer, we got his number. Our producer sent him a text. He was cool as hell. He came on like 30 minutes before he was supposed to go on his own show. So we were stunned. We were pretty surprised and came across really liking him after that.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. What was your opinion of Stephen A and First Take before you guys got that shout out? And then what's your opinion after, now that not only did you get the shout out, but he has came on the show too and I think even just a couple weeks ago, he mentioned 105.3 The Fan too. It was pretty recently.
Well, my opinion of Steve, this is going to sound jaded or it's going to sound biased because he came on. I call it First Fake. I've always called out these shows. And Skip Bayless is the worst, the biggest poisonous, toxic, awful impact on my profession. And I can't wait to see him go and be off the air. But he does have to get credit for the way these networks built all this with putting up actors. You have to hate the Cowboys. You have to love the Cowboys. You have to hate LeBron. You have to love LeBron. You got to hate Mayweather. You got to love the Lakers. All the shit. It's all obviously fake and it's bullshit. And it's just, it makes it hard to believe and listen to, right? I feel like Stephen A's show has become more genuine in my opinion. after he came on, I knew he was doing a fake cowboy act, but he was genuine and kind of taking us behind the curtain a little bit. I gained respect for him kind of admitting the game a little bit, or you know what I mean? Like he took us behind the curtain and it's like, okay, he's saying now. The other day he did it in talking about Micah Parsons and Josh Allen and Dak. He said, yeah. You know why we don't freaking talk about Josh Allen? No one gives a, he basically said, no one gives a fuck about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I love that he said that because he finally admitted what we all knew. And I feel like with Shannon on there, and I feel like Stephen A will stand up to athletes and particularly NBA players and not take any BS. I feel like his show has become more genuine where I'll never, ever forgive Bayless like that or give him any benefit of the doubt. I hate his guts, everything he stands for. And I can't say enough bad things about him. I really can't. And his, and really the executives over there for allowing it to continue. I thought it was it's been a sad indictment of where our profession is with the fake garbage that is do they do it? ESPN still does it with the Cowboys every damn topic. You know, I had a little falling out with Orlovsky. Not that we were tight at all. But I'm like, man, you're doing your little effing gimmick. I didn't believe it at first because I think Dan is a genuinely nice guy. But I'm like, we're gonna stop trying to have you on, man, because this cowboy thing is good for y'all's business. They talk more Cowboys on ESPN than we talk on this radio. Swear to God, and we're the Cowboys flagship. They talk more Cowboys than we do.
What was the issue with Orlovsky? Was that something? Was he a regular guest on your show, or no, is that just based off the stuff that you saw on First Take?
Dan is a guy. He'll DM you, like to be cool and like get things straight. And we had a little bitch fest over. It was a scheduling conflict and trying to work things out and sort things out. That was annoying. And then he was like his Dak takes. Like, we had this big anticipated build-up sit-down interview at the Super Bowl with him, and he was acting too cool for it. And he, you know, he wasn't backing up some of the things that he said, and he's just like, what do you mean? Dan's a gaslighter. That's what I figured. He's a professional gaslighter. And I hate to say that because I feel like I would really like him in person, face-to-face. But I was like, all right, we're enough trying to get Orlovsky on and everything. So it was a lot of his Dak takes.
Dak takes on ESPN though, not on your show.
Yeah, not on our show. Dan's I think been on once or twice, but it was a scheduling conflict to get him on.
How does?
Well, by the way, I think Orlovsky's very. I think Dan's very good on television. Very, very good on television. But we just had a little miscommunication.
Well, what was the exact miscommunication? Was it something
I said? Like, I mean, I said there's nothing to really build up over. It was like, when can you come on? My kid's got a dentist appointment. You know, you weren't forget. You didn't understand or care about my kid having a dentist appointment. A lot of stupid BS.
And so it wasn't even a miscommunication over Dak. It was more so miscommunication about coming on the show.
Yes. Then we tried to hold his feet to the fire. We tried to cross-examine him over. He put out a quarterback list before the playoffs, and Dak was like way down on the list, like behind Daniel Jones and stuff. And we're like,
yeah,
what the hell are you doing? He was way down on the list. I can't recall the list. You can easily find it. So when we tried to cross-examine him over that, it just wasn't as good of radio and entertainment I was hoping for at the Super Bowl. And ESPN acted like they didn't know the interview was scheduled. So why did we hype it up? So some miscommunication with the PR and everything. Nothing to keep diving into. You like this though. I know I'm giving you good.
I do. Yeah, no, I do enjoy right that. Here. Yeah. How do Cowboy fans feel about, obviously you're not a big Skip Bayless fan, not nearly as much as you seem to now like Stephen A. Smith in First Take, but just the fact that Skip seems to try to like hijack the role of being the Cowboys mascot. Like he perceives himself, portrays himself on national TV as being the biggest Cowboys fan there is.
Yeah. But here's the problem. You know where Skip Bayless started?
Oklahoma, I think.
Yeah. Dallas.
Well, yeah, but
local radio
from Oklahoma. And then he was in Dallas as a columnist.
Yeah. So I know all the people that started with Skip Bayless and know the real genuine Skip. So, like, I know all the stories and I know all the acting and, you know, this stupid shit he does of his dumb jersey in his little apartment where he throws it in the obviously, it's all it just drives me crazy that everyone can't see it as an act. It drives me crazy that he makes $6 million a year or whatever it is. It drives me crazy that he treated Shannon Sharpe so in such a disrespectful fashion. And it just, the whole thing, I think that Skip and Stephen A, they have to be given credit for what the landscape is today. I know it drives Barkley crazy. Like, he can't go an Inside the NBA edition on TNT without cussing. He's wanting to say Skip's name every single week. But I feel like Charles still watches it, like still gets driven crazy, like still lets his blood boil. I don't watch it. I don't pay attention to it anymore because he's so fake. One of the biggest disagreements I've had here was with Darren Woodson. Darren Woodson is the nicest in-person athlete. I'll say I've never met any DFW athlete nicer than him in person. He remembers your name. He could meet you one time 5 years ago. He remembers your name, million-dollar smile. I can't say enough great things about Darren Woodson, the person, based upon my few times meeting him. I told, this is off air, I said, because Darren was at ESPN, and I said, Darren, tell me that all the skip shit is fake. Admit it. I want you to admit it to me right now. He's like, man, he believes it. He really believes it. And I've heard from two or three former people that work with him that he actually genuinely believes it. And it I can't believe it. I refuse to believe it. I saw Darren Woodson last year at a charity event. I said, the only disagreement problem I have with you is you told me that Skip Bayless is genuine and real. And I'll never forgive you for that. And he didn't triple down and quadruple down as much on it. That conversation is between me and him, but he was laughing that I still wouldn't let it go because I refuse to believe it.
Would you rather if it was genuine, or do you think, like, is it better if all the takes that Skip has that they are real authentic takes, or is it better if they are just like, this is him putting on an act?
Obviously I would prefer for it to be genuine and real and like say what you're really thinking.
But like, doesn't like, that, but look, but if this LeBron, stuff that he says LeBron. is genuine, doesn't that make it even crazier? Like
they view genuine as boring. That's the problem with what's happened. They view it as like LeSean McCoy has to hate the Cowboys. And, you know, they put David Hellman on there. In my opinion, Dave, who we all know here in DFW for a while, Dave was like their pro Cowboy like person.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the other foils, the other roles. The LeBron stuff he does, man, come on. If anyone can read his timeline and all the LeBron crap that is, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And it's garbage. And it's just a bunch of bullshit. It really is. I don't even want to talk about him anymore because I get worked up.
All right. Last thing. Does Dallas claim Skip Bayless?
Fuck no. Fuck no. Are you kidding me? Hell no. No. Dallas. I'm sure there's I don't know what the TV ratings are recently. Maybe there's some that tune in. I think people tune in that hate the Cowboys to see Stephen A, you know, burn them and laugh at them. I would hope and I doubt that anyone tunes in to see Skip mourn or celebrate with what happens with the Cowboys on Sunday.
Do you think that obviously we've mentioned that
you think yeah. I have a future at any of those networks after this?
No, probably not. we mentioned how ESPN and FS1 Undisputed First Take, like they spend more time talking about the Cowboys than you do. Do they do the Cowboys talk any justice? Like, do they do a good job of talking about the Cowboys? Not just that they spend a lot of time on it, but are the segments that they have on the Cowboys good and filled with worthwhile content?
I'm being honest with you. I don't watch the FS1 the FS1 Skip content that much. Since Hellman's not on the afternoon show, I don't really pay that much attention to it. But you know who? What we'll do during a show. once or twice during the week. They're obviously on when we're on, at least in the morning. We'll point to the TV and laugh at the topic. That's the job I want when I get fired from here. I want to come up with whoever comes up with those topics on these shows that you read on the screen. That's the job I want. You talk about cake. You talk about stealing money. Holy crap. The topic yesterday was, I think it was Dak or Tua. And I was like, what the fuck? Where did this come? I thought we got the schedule wrong. We were taping stuff for Amazon that's going to be on with NFL Films Thursday night. And I was like, are they playing Miami? Did we screw this up? We just talked about Seattle. Where the freak is Dak Tua coming from? So when they reach and stretch those types of topics, I like Marcus Spears over there. I can't even go down one by one. But when they reach and stretch like that, we laugh, we roll our eyes, and we make fun of it on the air.
Yeah, I mean, they do occasionally go into like a real topic about the Cowboys. But I mean, if they're
like
going
Ryan,
to be...
I like Ryan Clark, you know. I'm trying to think who else. I like Marcus.
It's the analysts that are also on NFL Live later on, where they're really like breaking down film and stuff like that. Like those analysts are the ones that even when they're on First Take and they're talking about the Cowboys, like they usually have some legit opinions and things to say. But when you're talking about the Cowboys as much as they do, like you said, they come up with those topics just by kind of like twisting things and trying to figure out what's the best way to create some social media buzz. What's the best way to get some SEO attraction off of this. And they end up saying, you know, Dak or Tua when it's not the Cowboys and Dolphins even playing.
Exactly. So that to me is not genuine. That's not a real topic. It's a contrived, desperate topic. And we're not paying that much attention to it.
Is there a national voice or announcer or analyst aside from Skip Bayless that you kind of roll your eyes at every time they start talking about the Cowboys?
Orlovsky a little bit. Shannon Sharp. I know Shannon has that idea now that he's a Cowboy hater, but I like watching Shannon. I think he's funny. I love his delivery. No, there's really nobody else. There's really no one else
Skip
besides
just kind of garners all the hate just gets directed at Skip.
Greg Carton a little bit has come up with some stupid stuff. Shady McCoy was a big target here in the off season here in the Metroplex. When he showed up to training camp, he didn't even like stick around to really watch practice, according to a lot of Cowboy people there. So it's Shady McCoy that has kind of taken the mantle from Skip. I'm not everyone's coming to mind, but LeSean McCoy kind of took that over.
I know you mentioned being in Kansas City before Dallas Sports Radio 610, and that station has seen a lot of personalities come through, like yourself, Danny Parkins, Nick Wright, Damon Amendolara. They have Carrington Harrison there now, who's been there a while. He's really good. Who was there? What year were you there? Who was there during your tenure? What were some of those other voices there?
I was there 13 years ago, whatever year that was, 2010, I think.
Okay.
I was there with, I was, it was Bob Fesco in the morning. I did midday. Nick was on in the afternoons. Carrington was running the board for Nick at times. We had Jeff Passan as a Royals insider.
Oh, wow.
My wife is calling me right here. Jeff Passan. And we also had Robert Ford, who is the radio voice of the Astros. Mark Carmen, working for FanSided. We had a squad, man. We had a squad.
What's your relationship with Nick Wright like?
We don't really have one. I mean, we were probably... I mean, socially, when I was there for a year, we hung out the most. We hung out a ton. We were boys, but went our separate ways. I went to Dallas. He went to Houston. Obviously, he hit it national. So I'll talk to Mark Carmen here and there to check in. We play tennis all the time. Robert Ford, I'll have on when it's Rangers Astros. But I was there right before Danny, I think, took my spot. So Danny came in. I didn't have a relationship with him. Maybe a little bit here and there with Carrington, but I was only there for a year.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of Nick as a national TV personality? Like, where did you see that's the direction that he would have eventually went to when you were with him 13 years ago or whatever you said it was? Or is that kind of a surprise to see where he is now?
I was surprised. Now, I'm not surprised by Nick's talent. I was just surprised by the direction.
Yeah.
So Nick is a KC guy, right? He had that advantage, born and raised, family there. But I mean, Nick Wright is, I would not want to get in many sports or verbal arguments with Nick. Nick is freaking intelligent. Nick knows he's intelligent. He's very, very sharp, very, very smart. There's still that clip going around of him versus Bayless. Like, I'm convinced that no one there is allowed to talk about Skip. And I think they wanted to keep Skip away from Nick because Nick would undress. There's not many people I would pick that Nick would not be able to undress in an argument that he was very passionate and well prepared for.
Yeah, I think Nick is super talented. I've always been a fan of his, and to see what he's turned into now on television. I mean, obviously, like, he comes up with some hot takes the way they all do, but his ability to kind of like twist any argument back to something that's not to make it him come out as the winner every single time is just amazing.
Nick, Syracuse, right? That's the number one broadcasting school.
Yeah.
Nick was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yep.
When he was young. I think Nick, you know, used to be a degenerate gambler. So he was all about the math and everything like that. I would have liked to maintain a closer relationship with Nick throughout the years, but again, he went his way. I went mine. And we only chilled for 1 year, but he's super. I mean, yes, Nick is confident/arrogant, cocky. He would tell you that, but I mean, Nick's intelligence. I'm trying to think of other. I mean, it's way, way up there, if not at the top.
What was
guys doing that job?
What was your dream job earlier in your career? Like, you were in Maryland. You're from Maryland, I think. You worked in Kansas City. Then you get to Dallas. Like, was Dallas at that point, were you considering it something that this was going to be a place where you were going to probably stay at for a long time? Or did you look at it as a stepping stone to the next gig?
Stepping stone.
I was to like, what?
National radio, maybe TV, you know, like, I like setting people up, right? Like being the quarterback. So, you know, NFL Network host, setting up, doing that type of stuff, national radio. And then, like I said, so my national radio thing, come on, Kevin Hagelin, midday show. He's getting all the people off of announcing. Say hello. There it is. He can give you some more Jerry Jones answers. And I think it was CBS Sports Radio. I had an opportunity to go on there and host on Saturdays. But for 10 years, I had worked Cowboys pregame. So I was already working 6 days a week. And I was like, man, I don't think I can do this 7 days a week. You know, I'm trying to have a family and do all this and that. So I said no to that weekend gig. And I think that kind of slowly closed the door, like, on a national thing. And then, in my opinion, you know, I can't name you the lineups on any of the networks now. So I think national radio in my mind took a hit and a step, yeah, and a drop down. I got settled here. Love the station, love the bosses, love the coworkers, and then the Cowboy platform, home of the Rangers. You know, I think you got to fit in a market that fits you in terms of your sports loves. I'm not the biggest hockey guy. I couldn't go to Buffalo. I love football by far the most. This is Dallas Cowboys. I like the NBA, Mavs. You know, you got baseball, but you know, I'm not the biggest college like guy. So, working in Kansas for me, I had to do a lot of college basketball homework, being on the home of the Jayhawks. So, market fit, high market, Cowboys, Jerry Jones, and I kind of gave up any of those hopes and dreams.
Was it hard ingratiating yourself to Dallas? You're from Maryland. I know RJ was doing Dallas radio for a while before you guys got paired together, but he's not from Dallas. He's from the Northeast. And then now here you guys are two of the biggest voices in Dallas sports.
Yeah. Yes, hard. And I think that's probably the thing. That might be the thing I'm most proud of, that because our main competition on the other station is like more chill, right? You could tell in this interview, I'm louder, can come across more obnoxious than maybe some others, opinionated. And RJ is from New Jersey. So too loud, in your face, in the morning at 6 a.m., 7 a.m., East Coasters, who did not grow up rooting for the Cowboys or any of the local teams. To me, I'm very proud that we've lasted 12 years and had some success, because this is a very provincial state, as I'm sure you may know, very proud. And I came in, I had the wrong formula. I was told initially, be who you are, admit the teams you rooted for. Don't be fake, right? You are a Redskin fan, you got to admit it. You got to own it, Commanders now. And I sang Hail to the Redskins to Jerry Jones after RG3 and Washington beat their ass on Thanksgiving Day. And I sang it to him on our weekly show. Jerry had fun with it, cool, laughing. He's like, you're an idiot. You know, you are an idiot. That did not do me any favors locally. That was not a smart move, because there are people who in that moment, no doubt, said, screw this, fuck this kid, this show, and probably didn't turn it on. There's probably people who never turned it on after that, and I'll still get some messages like, aren't you a Washington fan? You're not from here. I could be here for 35 years, and I'll still get those messages. So that was not the smartest approach looking back on it.
Did you pay for Mark Cuban's restaurant tab once?
Yes. And they got me nowhere either. Village Burger Bar right down the street. I was moving here. My mom was helping me move. He was at the bar. I'm like, this is my moment. I'm going to get an in number. He's going to remember me forever. I'll be able to forever say I paid for a billionaire's lunch. So I snuck the credit card to the waitress, introduced myself. Didn't mean a lick.
Nothing.
And he wouldn't remember right now if you asked him.
Have you ever had Cuban on? I know the Mavericks aren't on the Fan, but do you guys ever get him?
We had him on the morning after they won the title in Miami. He called in. He was walking the halls here at our sister station, Spanish-speaking station, and he walked right in after that. I think we've had him on two or three times.
How do the Rangers stack up in the hierarchy of Dallas sports teams? Like, was there a big appetite for the World Series run this season?
In Dallas, it goes Cowboys, NFL, college football, Rangers. So the thing about baseball, as I'm sure you would agree with, it's like the most nostalgic, right? Yeah. You have the closest connection to that play-by-play voice. It's 162 games. People have memories of them playing Little League, you know, more so than any other sport. So when the Rangers went on their run, the amount of phone calls we got from tearful fans talking about going to the stadium, watching the games with their dad, watching the game now with their sons, it was special. It was fantastic. But this is an undercover good baseball town in terms of the ratings and in terms of the following. And I anticipate I made the argument to my boss during the 2010, 2011 runs that they had. I'd rather have the Rangers for 162 than the Cowboys for 16. Now the Rangers fell off, you know, because you're getting that daily, nightly cume.
Yeah.
And the numbers were big time. I was like, I'd rather take the Rangers deal than the Cowboys deal. Those words not true over the past, like, whatever years they've been going through the rebuild. But we're anticipating a ton of hype and big-time numbers for the Rangers' start of their title defense.
So what do you think? Will the Cowboys end up enjoying the same fate this season?
No, but they, as I said earlier, their big hurdle to get there. Look, there's no, in my opinion, there's no great team in the NFL.
Yeah.
All we talk about every week nationally even is Philadelphia is gettable. Are they lucking out or do they have this special it factor? Right. But we already talked about how Dallas can play with Philadelphia. The biggest factor to get to the Super Bowl is the San Francisco 49ers for the Dallas Cowboys. Over on the other side, I'm not scared. I would still pick Kansas City because they have the best player on earth. No one's terrified of Kansas City. Josh Allen is making me look stupid along with Buffalo. Who's the other team in the AFC? The Cowboys can get there because of the weakness of the National Football League, in my opinion. They can get there. I would not pick them to win the Super Bowl.
Do you root for the Cowboys now? Obviously, you're a Washington fan, but
no,
living in it.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Cowboys. This is tough to get into. I don't know if we have enough time. My wife is already not happy with me, but I was talking about Bayless too long and Michael Irvin. Dan Snyder, and I think my coworkers can finally see what I was talking about. Dan Snyder really sucked the Washington fandom out of me. He really did. I think the longer I went in this business, the less diehard fan I became of any team. Yeah. And it was just really hard to root for them, man, because he's arguably the worst owner in the history of sports. And then coming here, you're around the players, you're around Jerry, you're around people. It's like, how can you be a Dallas fan? I root for ratings.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a ratings whore. That's all I care about. In my perfect dream world, every single team here every year would go undefeated and win every championship because that's better for the station. It's better for my show. It's better for me. But I root for the Cowboys to dominate and win every single week. I would love to get a Cowboys Super Bowl.
Sean, you were great. Thanks so much for joining the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Don't get me in too much trouble with, don't first fake me. Don't headline me. Don't get me in too much trouble.
Careful. Brandon.
I'm trusting you. I know you do good work. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that is Sean Sharif. I'm Brandon Contis. This is the Awful Announcing Podcast. Please rate and subscribe to this podcast. Please also subscribe to Awful Announcing's YouTube page. But regardless of how you consume Awful Announcing and the Awful Announcing Podcast, thanks for listening and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Awful Announcing Podcast. For the latest news spanning the sports media landscape and more, check out awfulannouncing.com and follow us at awfulannouncing.com.